Welcome to the Maleko and Flash podcast. I'm Maleko.
I'm Flash. And how come you never use that sound effect?
The applause the intro, at the beginning of the show. I feel like, figured because we're in the live performance hall here at iHeartRadio, this is kind of a perfect, you know, just the crowd goes wild.
Hey, Angela and Chris, pay attention. Do it again.
Do it again. That's it. That's it. By the way, our audience of two today, ladies and gentlemen, our biggest fan, she runs the Maleko and Flash show Instafan account. Please welcome Angela to the show. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah.
It's really a fan account.
It is really a fan account.
We had nothing to do with it.
And
we don't pay her.
We're so glad that she does that for us. And joining her is Chris the Mooch.
Boo.
Chris the Mooch over here. He heard we were pouring wines today, and so Chris Mills popped into the studio. Thanks for joining us, buddy. Our special guest today represents the entire collection of Ménage à Trois wines. And
What kind of wine?
Ménage à Trois.
Oh, really?
Ménage à Trois.
Oh, interesting.
Lots of fun. These delicious wines, we're going to taste at least eight of them today, maybe more, and we're not going to spit. We're gonna drink them down.
We
and
swallow, Lauren.
We're going to enjoy
we
it.
Swallow.
We're going to enjoy it. So here's what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome our guest today, Mark from Ménage à Trois. Thank you so much for being here, buddy. It's a pleasure to have you here with us today. This is going to be an exciting show. We don't normally sample more than like three beverages in a show.
We're going to
so
die.
The fact that we're going for eight is pretty spectacular.
You guys got quite a reputation. I think you'll be able to handle it.
Well, you know, that's true. It's all true.
We got to hydrate. Maleko, drink your water.
It's all true.
We got to hydrate.
So today, of course, we are streaming to you live from the iHeartRadio Music Hall here, the financial, what is it,
the Hawaiian Financial Music Hall.
It's on the sign
it's
behind
the thing
me.
Right behind you.
The Hawaiian Financial Music Hall. And we want to thank the folks there at Hawaiian Financial for helping us put this together today. And of course, if you want to subscribe to the show right now, is a good time to do that. Hit that subscribe button. Or hit that follow button wherever you're watching. We are streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and
whatever the kids are on these days.
Yeah, we're on all of them. So go ahead and check it out.
We don't know what any of those things mean, but we're on it.
You don't because you're an old man.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to drink to that.
I do because I produce the show, so we'll do that. Lauren, by the way, here by the way, directing the show for us today.
Lauren,
also excited.
Yeah. Lauren,
also excited that we are doing wine today. Because who isn't? Let's be honest, shall we?
Wine's a rarity for us, so we're really excited.
It is. Right. It's exciting. Yeah. You know, Flash doesn't like beer, so we rarely get to do any sort of specialty shows because the first thing that people go, oh, I run a brewery, and Flash goes, no interest. You know, I love beer. I love wine. I love alcohol in general.
You know, Flash is an expert in spirits, so.
Yeah. That's the only thing he can be attached to the word expert on. Absolutely. So, Mark, first of all, you're not actually with the wine, with the winery, Ménage à Trois. You represent a whole collection of spirits,
correct,
right?
Correct, yeah. My wife Teresa and I moved to Hawaii in 1990 from California, and we decided that we wanted to move here and start our own beverage brokerage company, you know, specializing in wine, spirits, and some non-alcoholic brands.
What was that mixes. Last one? Non-alcoholic. Get out of here.
Well, they're good to mix with some of the spirits.
So. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty big business, you know, between all the bars and, you know, consumers, especially with COVID over the last year, making all their cocktails at home, you know, for the most part. So, yeah, and we represent great brands like Jose Cuervo and 1800 Tequila, Kraken Rum, and a number of some super premium tequilas, mezcals, and so forth.
I think we need to have them back on the show.
Yeah, way to bury the lead, Mark. We could have started with that, but hey, we'll ease into it. All right, we'll start with a Ménage à Trois, and then we'll work backwards to tequila. Usually, one leads to the other.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. Actually, so let's go back here to our audience of one today. Angela wrote in. We were talking back in the day about being an audience of one, and we said, "Hey, all you got to do is email Flash." Is that what you did? You just said, "Hey, I want to be on the show."
Yeah. Yes, she emailed me.
She emailed Flash. And in the process of doing that, she wound up being a part of the show, and she brought with her own food because she knew we were going to be drinking today. Who provided the charcuterie?
Devin. But it's Le Shark.
Oh, the Le Shark, Le
Shark
charcuterie
Blaze,
boys.
Blaze's, yeah, Blaze's company.
Like the only people that do charcuterie in Hawaii, and they do it in a box. That's beautiful. So I'm
to
glad
delivery,
you brought that.
All the stuff.
There will be lots of alcohol served today. Yeah. In fact, look at this. There's already a glass of wine on the table.
Yep. Hold on, because we always forget.
the word of the day?
Yes.
Let's do it. So, Mark, here's the way that works. You come up with a word that we're going to say. We're going to try and sneak it into conversation today. And every time we hear the word of the day, we're going to cheer, we're going to make some noise, and we're going to drink. And we're gonna
Don't you dare say the word of the day is wine. I will kill you.
All right. The word of the day is Tua.
Tua.
Tua. All right. Tua.
Tua. Didn't see that one coming. We got a football fan here.
All right. Yeah, so here's Tua U. There you go. Tua U.
Yeah, my son actually plays football for Florida State University. He's a quarterback. And
that's right.
And Tua obviously has done what he's done in football, and they're really good friends. And that's as easy as it gets in the Polynesian.
Your son language. Grew up here? You grew up here?
Yeah, went to Polynesian High School. Where'd he go?
Mililani.
Yeah.
Oh! We've got a fan.
Wow. Yeah, so what McKenzie. A coincidence. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's playing his senior year this year at Florida State. So, you know, looking forward.
And by the way, he's pretty damn good. Yeah. I mean, you're sort of underselling him there a little bit. He's pretty
prop
damn good.
Without being a prop papa, but come on, let's off some stature. He's actually done really, really well for himself.
Thank you. Well, Mililani, they were fortunate. They lost the state championship when he was a sophomore against Punahou, and then they were able to beat him
in
the state championship the next year. And then at UCF, they had a 25-game run, you know, and they had a horrible injury, but he's over 2.5 years back on his recovery, and he's been cleared to play. And, you know, we'll see how all that goes come September 5th when they open up against Notre Dame. So,
well, Tua to that.
Yeah.
Tua
is worth the toast.
Tua to that.
Sure.
That's fantastic.
Sure,
yeah.
That's a rough first game back. Notre Dame right out of the chute.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
So this is – what are we drinking here? This is sweet.
Yeah, let me give you a little background on Ménage à Trois. So everybody has their own definition of Ménage à Trois. And
don't we?
There's actually
– Pretty sure mine is different than yours.
There's a purpose to the name. And I remember when I first started to represent it, you know, all the different reactions I got when the wine started showing up on the grocery store shelves here in Hawaii. But I think it was 1996, 1997 – Trinchero, who's the parent company for large wine brands like Sutter Home, Ménage à Trois, Joel Gott, bought the Folia Dew Winery, which was located up north of St. Helena, up in Napa Valley, off Highway 29. And Folia Dew in French means shared fantasies. So they had some super premium wines with the basic varietals like Chardonnay, Cabernet, and Pinot Noir and so forth. And they decided to have some fun with the wine brand. And they decided that they were going to call it Ménage à Trois. And the premise of the wine was one of two things. Either it would be a blend of three different varietals.
Okay.
Like their mainstay, the Ménage Red, which is the most popular, mm-hmm. you know, one of the most popular red wines in the United States as well as Hawaii.
Mm. Is a blend of, humble brag.
It's a blend of Zinfandel, Cabernet, and Merlot. So they have the Zinfandel as the base grape. And then they add the Merlot. Cabernet and Merlot for... to really give it a nice backbone. And that's why one of the reasons it sells so well. Or it's a blend of three different growing regions on the varietal wines, like the Pinot Grigio, the Chardonnay, and the Cabernet, and so forth.
So it would be the one varietal, but from the same
three
grape
growing
from three
regions
different regions.
Yeah, so it's a Ménage à Trois. It's a blend of three, either...
I thought it was like, I knew nothing about it, and I thought, well, it must be three grapes.
Yeah.
It must be three different varieties.
You got it exactly right.
Because I'm smart.
Yeah, there you go. And that's what it is. So it's either three different grapes or three different growing regions. So,
there you go.
And it started out, I got involved in it I think 2003, 2004.
2003 or 2004?
There you go.
Mark, we're going to need more wine.
Cheer. There you go. And, Tua's getting some good pub today. This is great.
That's awesome.
But the Ménage Red was the first wine, and I started tasting some people on it, and we went to some of the stores, and Tamura's was the first retailer in Hawaii to jump on it. And they started selling like hotcakes, you know, and then the rest of the chains picked it up. And
Tamura's is sort of always at the forefront locally of
really good
of
at
the new
at
hot
developing
stuff,
brands. Yeah, them and Fujioka's are both really good at that. So,
Did you get any pushback from the name? Because from a marketing standpoint, it's on the one hand very bold, but it could potentially you could shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There were a couple people say, "I'm never going to buy that because of the name," but for every one or two of those, there was 100 people that loved it. So I think that. It really played well. Where I knew we had a really great brand, because I'm in stores quite often and checking. I like to watch what consumers buy. And I'll ask them, like, you know, if you don't mind, I don't mean to bug you, but can you tell me, like, why did you make that decision to buy that wine or that spirit? And I really learned a lot by doing that, to see how they think and or how they were influenced to make their buying decision. And on Ménage à Trois, what happened, it was young consumers, it was older consumers, it was men, it was women, it was just like all over the place. It was like, it was everybody.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, this is, we got something here.
Yeah,
I like it. I like it for a few reasons. One, it's available everywhere.
Right.
I mean, you can get it at Tamura's. You can get it at 7-Eleven.
Yep.
You know, you can get it at Safeway. You can get it at Costco. The price point is perfect. You know, it's right on the middle shelf. You know, it's right there where I like to live. You know, because I drink a lot of wine. Yep. I don't necessarily need to spend $50 a bottle.
Right. No, absolutely.
That's an expensive night at home, and it's unnecessary. Yeah. Especially, you know, when you're coming home with maybe two bottles, you know, you're something for early.
Two bottles?
Oh, boy.
Hey. That's great.
I'm out of wine. Yeah. So I
holy crap.
Don't say the word of the day
I'll talk
anymore.
About the first wine, and I'm going to pour the second one, too.
Show's going to be over in 20 minutes.
This is, by the way, this is our spit jar. This is, you know, proper wine tasting requires that you expunge the wine from your mouth.
Oh, that's a good word.
So you don't get wasted. And in today's show, of course, we might not be doing that so much. This will be a clean jar.
Yeah, just a little bit about the price-value relationship. You're absolutely right. The owner, the Trinchero family, they came to Napa Valley in 1948. They moved right after World War II ended to New York City in 1945, moved to Napa, and they started a wine empire from scratch. And their whole premise is they want to, if it's a $15 bottle, a dollar bottle of wine, they want to sell it for 10, like Ménage.
Yeah.
You know, and basically the quality you get, it over-delivers on quality consistently every time you drink it.
Now, I would venture to say that there is now a growing selection of premium wines that are available around that $10 to $15 price point, more so than were there, you know, when my parents were buying wine. You know, early on, it's like if you didn't spend $30 on a bottle of wine, you were cheap. You know,
your parents were buying like mead and ale. Wine didn't even exist yet.
Yeah. Well, you have two opposite extremes because you have the people that buy low end, you know, and then that whole middle range, like you said, that's really developed over the years. I can remember, I'll date myself a bit, the first wine I ever had was Boone's Farm Apple Wine. You know, back in...
See, I've had that too. I didn't know that was actually wine.
Oh, yeah. It really wasn't, but it was flavored something. They called it wine.
It's like sugar-flavored gasoline.
Boy, you just took me back to freshman year in college. Yeah. We'd buy a couple of bottles of Boone's Farm, and we'd hang out under the bridge.
There you go.
Under the bridge.
Yeah.
In a van down by the river.
It was $4.20 a bottle.
Most people start with sweet wines, and we're actually going to taste those last today, and I'll explain the reason when we get to it. But most people start with sweet wines because the Pepsi generation, people have sweet beverages growing up, so it's a natural thing to start with. And then once your palate develops into the varietals and some of these really great blended wines, then it's hard to go back.
Well, tell us what we're drinking right now. Yeah. What happened
let's
to the bottle?
What we're
going to do is I'm doing a power tasting with you guys.
Okay.
And we're going to try 8 different wines from Ménage à Trois. The first is 100% Pinot Grigio. They call it Limelight Pinot Grigio.
So that was
the first wine you had.
Yeah, Maleko
nice,
pounded
light,
that.
Crisp. Great way to start the tasting. It's a good aperitif wine. Aperitif means you can drink it by itself or certainly with any kind of, Pacific Rim style food. It goes great. And it's just, I call it a porch quaffer, type wine. Or beach quaffer if you can...
I like that word too, quaffer.
So you just stick a straw in the bottle and just consume it that way. You know, just sip it right down. Yeah.
But what you're going to do, the second one I just poured is the Ménage Gold. It's called Chardonnay. This is 100% Chardonnay.
This is the one we have now.
It's the one you have now. And there's definitely a distinct nose difference and taste profile difference between Pinot Grigio and Chardonnay. You know,
please explain that to me because I am a noob when it comes to these types of things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, each different varietal, has its own, character profile as far as the nose.
This is not as sweet.
You smell it or when you drink it. But you're drinking Chardonnay.
It's more buttery.
Oh, yeah, it's 100% Chardonnay.
100% Chardonnay.
You taste it, you know what it is.
Same price as the Ménage Red. I mean, it's a really good value on a Chardonnay.
Not a blend then, right?
No,
I mean, this is just
three different growing regions.
Okay.
So,
the same grape.
Yeah, we'll get to the blends here in a bit. But, it's 100% Chardonnay, like the Limelight Pinot Grigio is 100% Pinot Grigio.
So the Pinot's sweeter. The Chardonnay is more buttery.
Right. Well, actually, Yeah, I would say the Chardonnay probably has a little more butter to it than the
Pinot Grigio. Yeah, the Pinot is sweeter, and the Chardonnay is more buttery.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You read the prep notes. There you go. You're like, it's a little buttery. Wait till we get to the nuts. He's going to love that.
But you can taste. I mean, Chardonnay is pretty distinct in its taste profile, and it's one of the drier white wines. So wanted to wet your palate with that. Open it up with the two whites. And then we're going to do, we'll start with the soft red with the Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. And what we call this is the Ménage à Trois Luscious Pinot Noir. So they're all going to have a name, Limelight Pinot Grigio, the Gold Chardonnay. This is called Luscious Pinot Noir, so we want to pour this into your other red wine glass.
Oh, studio question from Chris Mills.
All right. Before we get to the Pinot Noir, you're going to have to speak up, Chris. Yeah.
Is Chardonnay the best-selling white wine?
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, it's interesting in America. Sauvignon Blanc used to be number two up until about 4 or 5 years ago, and then Pinot Grigio surpassed it about 4 or 5 years ago. So it's Chardonnay is a strong number one, followed by Pinot Grigio, and then Sauvignon Blanc is the top-selling white wines.
So as far as Chardonnay and the Pinot goes, what would you recommend for pairing where things, what like food items would make more sense with Chardonnay versus food items that would make more sense with the Pinot?
Okay.
Because to someone like me, they're similar enough to where I'm like, oh, I'm just going to order white with seafood.
Yeah. Would you recommend
and call it a day?
Like the Cool Ranch Doritos or the Cheetos? Because that's how I roll, right? You know, I mean, I'm grabbing a bag of snacks.
Depends what your options
and
are.
A bottle. You know what I'm saying? You know, I am at 7-Eleven right now, right?
Yeah, Chardonnay is pretty versatile. I mean, I like consuming Chardonnay with like chicken, any type of white fish usually goes well. Chardonnay, Pinot Noir,
Chardonnay is a classic. Like you can roll up with Chardonnay to a party, and I guarantee you, 30% to half the party is going to love it. They're going to be happy with that. It's a great choice. I think a more modern choice might be the Pinot Gris, though. You know, just for somebody to roll up. If you roll up with that. It's for me personally, I find it more palatable, the Pinot Grigio, just because there's a little bit of a bite to a Chardonnay that it's always been there. That's part of it. And I always feel your tongue feels dry. Yeah, I always feel that one kind of commands more attention, whereas the Pinot Grigio, you can sip that back like we did earlier. You know, it's like a water.
Like I call it a porch pounder, actually. It's, it's something you can just drink pretty easily and freely and enjoy it.
Porch pounder.
But the Pinot Noir, the luscious Pinot Noir, to me is the most versatile. I think out of all wines with food, is probably the most versatile wine there is, because Pinot Noir you can eat that or you can consume it, drink it with just about any kind of food. You know, it's great with poke, any type of Pacific Rim food. It's good with. Obviously any kind of fish, you know, any kind of light meats. And I like it personally even with heavier, meat dishes. So Pinot's a great, great variety. And it's a great way to get your palate adjusted to the red wines. You know, Maleka, when you mentioned the Chardonnay, I think Cabernet's similar on the reds. Because once you drink Cabernet, it's very kind of dusty on the back palate.
Dusty. That's a great way to describe it.
But you either love it or you don't like it. One of the two, there's really no in between.
Yeah.
You guys will get a chance to taste it. Yeah. But your palate has to get to that point where you really, you want
I agree
that
with that. Yeah, and I think Chardonnay is the same way. It's one of those things where it's not a great place to start because, really the rest of the night, you're kind of stuck with it.
I would agree with that. I think that you're better off with the... I'll call it a little bit lighter style whites with the Pinot Grigio to start and then work your way up. I would say, too, there's a ton of different types of Chardonnay. You got really buttery ones and heavily oaked ones and all that. So
what would you consider the Ménage Gold Chardonnay? Well, where does that fall on the Chardonnay range?
It's kind of mid-range, I think, on that spectrum is what I would say. But when you look at a great price value for $10 or, get them on ad like $8.99 in some of the chains. It's a really good value.
And all right, so we're
moved
on
now. Yeah,
so
we've got the Shards out, the Pinot Grigio's out. The one that we're trying now is the Pinot Noir. You've kind of been talking about it a little bit. This is new in the lineup of Ménage à Trois.
Correct. It's relatively new. It's been around a few years now.
Yeah. This one, I remember when this one popped up. This one was actually it really hits a little bit deeper than the original blends that Ménage brought out.
Right.
This one's got a nice solid flavor.
We're gonna actually taste the Ménage Silk blend. which is a blend of Pinot Noir, Malbec, and Petit Sirah.
Nice.
We're going to do that next, but I wanted to give you the true 100% varietal, the taste first, and then you can kind of contrast the two. It's a good way.
That's beautiful.
Because Ménage Silk is a really popular wine as well, but I think this is a really nice Pinot Noir, and you know, you guys enjoy those big bottles too.
This is nice and dry. I like this nice and dry, and it's not. It doesn't have that cab.
It's a lighter red. Right? Because once you get to the heavier reds, it's hard to go backwards.
All right, we're taking internet questions too.
The Angela, interwebs.
The other Angela is watching, of course.
What other Angela? There can only be one.
We've got two Angelas now that watch regularly.
And by the way,
Angela Ludwig, or Nash Ludwig, is watching.
She's our audience of one, I think, next week.
Yeah, she's coming in next week. Eventually, we'll get both of you in at the same time.
Apparently.
And the world will collide.
Apparently, you can only be our audience of one if your name is Angela.
That's it. It's or Mills.
Very, very niche market.
So go ahead and type in your questions. Let us know. We are taking those questions for you here, of course, as we go through the whole palette. The whole table full of Ménage wines. I'd be happy to answer whatever questions.
How do people ask the questions?
Just in
the
comments.
YouTube?
Just, you know, like on Facebook, there's a little box underneath the post where it says comment. You typey the thingy and you hit enter and then it pops up on the interwebbies.
This is amazing. What's Angela's
question?
You want
me to show it to you on your giant phone? Grandpa?
No, it's a flip phone.
Anybody else That's need an great. Explainer? All right. No, it's, you know, she doesn't have a question. She was just spittua. Is that what this is called? She corrected me.
Yeah.
A spittua.
I love it.
Clever.
All right. So go ahead and pass around that Ménage Silk.
Well, hold on.
This one is one of my favorites.
Yeah. It's really good
Smart
to contrast
such a pusher.
With luscious Pinot Noir.
You do have that if you can't handle it, Flash. You can use your spittua.
Oh, gosh.
That's good.
So this is the soft red blend, the Ménage Silk.
And again, that's a blend of Pinot Noir, Malbec, and Petit Sirah.
So also new. This one popped up a couple years ago.
Well, this one's been around for about 10 years. That's the Lavish Merlot. Yeah, I didn't bring that today.
Man.
There's about 15 or
that
16.
That one is
it's killer, too.
It's hard to find, too.
Yeah, and the Midnight's really good, too.
That's why you didn't bring it, I'm sure. Is this what, did you pour me already?
Yeah.
You did?
All right. End it off.
Mills, come on over here.
Don't bogart the wine.
So what I wanted to do is, I wanted to contrast the luscious Pinot Noir, you know, with this Ménage Silk, and it'll give you an idea between the 100% Pinot Noir and the blended wine, which, again, is primarily Pinot, but they put the Malbec, which is really interesting because there's not a lot of Malbec grown in California.
Oh, man.
So
what a difference.
Is that smooth or what?
Look at that. It is.
That's why they call it silk.
I like this one way better.
Yeah.
Way better.
Ménage Silk, yeah.
This one, seriously.
It's like silky.
It's silky. Like, this is the one you put on when you've got that Bruno Mars song on, you know?
Yep.
The new one he's got?
There's so many ménage à trois jokes I have to not make.
Seriously.
But this is like, silky smooth, my
if
friend.
If you're hungry, he's got fillets
silky
and ménage à trois silk.
Thanks.
So we had the first one was the luscious Pinot.
Yeah.
Now we're
Ménage Silk.
Now we're onto the Ménage Silk. So you can see we've got some charcuterie here, right? The crackers and salami, and different fruits and nuts. And so, like, which one is better for that situation?
All of them.
All of them.
That's it.
There is no wrong answer. Don't be shy.
It's like the answer to the multiple choice test. You want to be E. All of the above. So. Yeah, no, it's really flexible. You can drink
that.
This wine is really
it's something
really
that restaurateurs made up so they could sell steak and lobster. Yeah. You can drink wine with anything, Flash.
Yeah,
newsflash.
Yeah, you like that?
Seriously?
Yeah, that's easy to drink. I mean, for
this
one, it's lime priced with the the limelight.
This is my favorite wine.
Let's check in with
so
our wine expert, Lauren.
Yep.
Lauren is the wine aficionado in the house.
By the way, Lauren is not shy with the pours, I got to say.
Which one so far has been your favorite? You got to speak up because we don't have a mic on you.
Yeah. Definitely so far, the Silk.
The Silk.
So far,
the Silk. Same as me.
Good.
Of the four, good. So far.
That's great.
I mean, I'm not holding it against you, Mark.
Yep.
But I have spent a lot of money on the Merlot.
Oh, yeah, on the Lavish Merlot,
On the Lavish Merlot,
Well, you know, I could have brought, like, seven more, you know.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
You know, we've got
no,
time.
No, the Merlot is awesome.
We can reconvene in an hour.
There you go.
So, of the four, audience of one, Angela. Which of the four so far is, is your favorite? Okay. On the Silk.
On the Silk.
Okay, so I'm in on the Silk, too.
That's my favorite.
That's actually a great segue, because Silk is our number two selling Menage wine in Hawaii.
Okay.
And in the U.S. The number one seller is the Menage Red. This was the...
That's the OG.
This is the... Yeah, this is... To me, you know, I think it's the number one... I'll call it real
red
wine in Hawaii. This is killer. This is a blend of Cabernet... it's a blend of primarily Zinfandel, and it has Cabernet and Merlot to give it a backbone. So when you taste this, that's what you're going to taste. And Menage Red, you'll see even in the color, deep red color. It's a fantastic one.
We are going to die.
All right, Angela wants to know, as far as cooking, which white wine would you recommend to cook with?
You know, I'm not, my wife does most of our cooking.
Okay.
I'll give her credit on that.
What she means is, which one do you drink while you're cooking?
Okay.
That's a better question, right?
Typically when you cook, especially if it's overheat and all that, the
alcohol
it's
burns
evaporate,
up.
You know, just through the cooking process. But it does help with the flavor and the preparation of the food. So I think, you know, any of the white wines, you know, the Chardonnay, obviously you can always be safe with.
Mark, if the flavor and preparation don't matter, if you just drink more.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So anyway, this taste the red here, because this is a great contrast.
Gosh.
You know, to that Silk that you just had, because those again are the top two selling.
So
wines.
this is the OG. This is the top selling Menage wine.
Yeah,
that's the label that I recognize.
There
the
you
most.
Go. Shut your mouth. Yeah. Put it in there. Put it in your mouth.
Yeah. And what you're going to taste in there, you're going to taste some Cab, Merlot. And obviously with the Zinfandel base. So
less talky, more drinky.
Yeah. And Maleko, on the back of the palate, it's going to be a little drier too. So like you're starting to taste that. We get to the Cabernet, it'll be really dry.
But you know what? Because we've already gone through four other bottles, it's not so bad.
No. That's better. That's why I'm trying to.
A little more fruit forward than the other one.
A little drier.
And that's what the Zinfandel brings, is the fruit forwardness of it. It's not
He likes
sweet,
it fruity.
Fruit forward.
Loves it fruity.
Yeah.
Him. Yep. A little more dry, this one, too.
Yep. So anyway, it's a nice contrast between the two, but appreciate the comments on the Menage Silk. I think that's a fantastic bottle of wine. I think so.
But you know what? If that one's not on the shelf, this one is just as great. In fact, because it's got that little bit of the fruitness, the fruitiness to it, I feel like everybody can get into this one. Like, you know, if you pour a glass of this one, even mom who likes Chardonnays only, you know, or dad who strictly sticks to cabs, you know, this is one that I think is a party pleaser.
I feel that way about the Silk, though.
Give Amarada a little love on that one.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Amarada, mother-in-law.
Yeah.
This is her go-to.
Is it? Okay,
this
great.
This is her go-to. Awesome. You know, she doesn't have milk in the refrigerator, but she's got a lot of these. And so shout out to Ann for these. We're going to bring this one home for you.
Speaking of refrigerator, you feel the temperature on that?
It's cold. It's actually sweating here a little bit.
Actually, I picked that up because when I did my sample order for today, I forgot to pull one of those. So I went to an ABC, and actually they sell them in their cold boxes there. So, you know, having a slight chill on a red wine is a good thing in Hawaii.
So it seems like
80 to 85 degrees.
Seems like more and more people are refrigerating their red wines now. Where do you land on that? What's the difference?
If you have your own like wine refrigerator, you know, your wine
as we all do, Mark.
Well, if you do have one of those, 58 to 60 degrees is great.
Okay.
If you don't, I always recommend. Obviously, you put the whites in the refrigerator. You get them. I like them cold because they always can warm up. Right. But reds, I'll always put them in the refrigerator, even super premium reds, for at least 15 or 20 minutes before we consume them. Because in Hawaii, when it's 80 to 85 every day,
we refrigerate all of our wines.
Yeah. How does that change the flavor profile?
It really does. It just makes it better, you know, because a lot of times what you'll find, too, on red wines, if they're especially older red wines, like if you pop it and have it for dinner that night, if you have a half a bottle left over, the next day, once it aerates a little bit and gets some oxygen, the wines actually taste better.
Yeah.
You know, like the next day or 2 days after. But you definitely want to keep them chilled. The worst thing for wine is heat and light.
Which we have a lot of in Hawaii.
Exactly.
Both of those.
Like if people go shopping, I've heard horror stories. People go shopping and they'll leave the wine in the back of their car when it's 85 degrees.
That's
or
terrible.
Even worse in Florida where it's 100 and humidity is at 80% during the summer.
Oh, Chris Mills question. With the studio question. Yeah. How long do you aerate your wine for?
Well, there's two different types of, if I understand the question correctly. There's an aerator thing, which actually aerates it if it's an older wine. It's a device you can put in where your wine will pour through it, and the wine will be fine once you put it through that device.
Anyway,
so I'm just talking about like a red
just
wine.
Popping
if you pop the cork and you know you're going to consume it the next day, just leave it out with the cork uncorked.
The
like
next
that.
Day, Mark, if you're popping the cork, we're drinking it now.
Well,
through all of it.
Maybe we don't get a lot of time.
What the hell, Mark?
Maybe it's the second or third bottle you haven't finished.
What he means is how long between 1 and 10 minutes
right.
do we allow?
One and two a minute? Yeah. One and two a minute. Mark, that means you got to drink. Angela. The audience needs to be...
Yeah.
Does an hour make a difference?
Yeah, it does.
Especially
like if you have, you know, say you're decanting a wine and you have it in a decanter. This is actually, you know, obviously we're using that as a dump bucket. But if you have a decanter, what happens is if it's an older wine, you'll put it in here, let it, all this air here will open up the wine. And if it's really old, it's going to have sediment at the bottom and it'll, you know, stay down there when you pour it. So.
But, I like that you said that, though, because you've totally validated what we thought is we prefer to have wines. I mean, Lauren and I, we'll put them right in the fridge as soon as we come home.
Mm-hmm.
Let them chill while we're making dinner, and then they'll be cold for dinner.
Right.
And that's just, for us, it just tastes better. You know, it's hot outside. Yeah. Hawaii, you know, we're living in the high 80s these days. Yeah. And so to have something cool with dinner, even though it's red wine and you know, in the back of our heads, there's There's some old crotchety wine guy saying, don't you dare refrigerate my red wine.
No, because even, like, if you go to a high steakhouse or, you know, Wolfgang's or, you know, a really nice, you know, restaurant, they're going to have those wines chilled in their cellar at the temperature that I said, you know, usually around 58, 60 degrees, and they're going to bring them out. And when you go to a restaurant like that, they're going to be chilled. They're going to be cool.
Okay.
You know? So there's a difference between being frozen, like I'm going to call it frozen, but like really, really cold.
Froze.
Right. Kind of cold.
Froze.
Froze. So you want, different kind of wine. Also delicious.
Cool temperature is a good thing.
So now, Mark, you referenced earlier the aeration in the carafe, which gets me to the different size of the wine glass, because that's the whole point of something like a champagne flute versus like a bigger open mouth red wine glass as far as the air goes. So you want to walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, the champagne flute, you know, obviously sparkling wine has bubbles, right? So the tighter the flute there, the more bubbles they're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's the primary reason for the flute. Like if you tried to pour champagne in like one of these glasses, it'll have bubbles, but nothing like what's going to be bubbling.
And it's
going to
go flat
flute,
quicker, right?
Yeah. And then you have Bordeaux glasses, you have typical white wine glasses, you have Bordeaux glasses, and you have Burgundy glasses, you know, like in red wine. So the bigger the goblet and all that, obviously the aeration happens faster. So, and there's some great glassware out there. You know, if you want to get into it, it can be expensive, but man, it actually can really enhance the wines. So
you can really notice a difference.
Oh yeah, definitely. With the, especially like if you're drinking super premium, you know, high end wines and some Bordeaux and Burgundies from France and so forth, then if they're older vintages, you want them to open up appropriately.
Okay.
Yep. Yep,
like today,
right.
Yeah.
So the last of the table wines, the sixth wine here in our our
man,
power
Mark
tasting,
is just speeding through all of this.
He's actually Cabernet.
We're banging these out.
This is the Ménage Décadence Cabernet, which is 100% Cabernet.
I like the name.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
They got great names, you know? Limelight.
They do.
Luscious,
I love
Décadence,
it.
Lavish and Merlot. I'm glad I found a Merlot fan. We actually do very well with that varietal, too.
Okay, so Lauren, sorry.
Yep.
Let me get this.
So Luscious and the Luscious Pinot Noir and the Décadence Cabernet came out together about 3 years ago. And what's a nice contrast here is in the Ménage Red, you have, as I mentioned, primarily Zinfandel, some Cabernet and Merlot. This is 100% Cab. So you'll have the contrast between the blend that had some Cab in it and 100% Cab.
Can we really nerd out for a second? Now, you say this, so this, the Ménage Cab, one varietal, which means the same grape is coming from three different regions.
Correct.
So now when you have, when you have that scenario for a Ménage, are those three regions always the same?
No. No, it'll
depending depend on the varietal?
Depends on the where the varietal is best grown in the state, or what area of the state where the best grapes for that particular varietal are grown.
Okay.
One thing that's I think good for your listeners to know, and you know, every time I have a conversation about wine, and especially if people don't know a lot about wine, what's important to know is that for varietal wines, if it's going to be, you know, like a Pinot Grigio, a Chardonnay, or a Cabernet, a minimum of 75% of the grapes that go into that wine have to be that varietal. And it can be up to 100%. And actually, in Italy, it's 100%. Like, to be a Pinot Grigio from Italy, you got to be 100%. In the U.S., the law is 75% in California. And the reason why they do that, it's like a chef. If he's making a dish, a specialty dish, it gives him the latitude to add other ingredients to get the blend, you know, to get that taste profile and the consistency of it the way they want it. So some of these are, you know, so technically, like this Pinot Grigio could be a minimum of 75%. This happens to be 100% Pinot Grigio. But and again, it's up to the winemaker and how, but that's an important thing to know, because a blended wine, the percentages don't matter. It's whatever you decide to put in the blend. Now, this particular, the Silk, as I mentioned, is primarily Pinot Noir, and they blend a little bit of Malbec and Petit Verdot. The Ménage Red is primarily Zinfandel, and they blend in the Cab and Merlot to give it a backbone, you know, where he really tastes the Cabernet too. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the creativity of the winemaker, just like a great chef is mm-hmm. basically the analogy I would use.
Let me just interrupt you for a second, Flash. So this particular wine, out of all the ones that you poured to us, mm-hmm. this one has the most bold presentation.
Absolutely.
Like right off the bat,
yep.
This is a, it's right on the front of your mouth. Like mm-hmm. as soon as it hits your tongue, this thing explodes. It is an incredible yep. flavor. And yep. as far as Cabernets go, like I've had Cabernets,
right.
they don't all do that.
This is very fruit forward for a Cabernet.
Yeah. Because
it's young.
That's why he likes
it. Also gets you on the back, too, of the palate
yeah.
with the dryness of it. So that's a great observation, because that's exactly what it does. You know, Chris had asked, you know, what are the top selling white varietals? Cabernet's king of reds, you know, followed yeah. by Pinot Noir.
This is
reds.
A great yeah. Cabernet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to be honest, I haven't had this one yet.
Yeah.
You know, and we drink a lot of the yeah. Ménage wines.
So
this one I haven't had, and I'm surprised
right.
because it's not one that is it's right. undersold, I would say. Yeah. You know, you're yeah. really underselling this one. This one is fantastic.
Well, and the category it's in, so there's two tiers of Ménage pricing. You have the blends and, like, the two whites that we had. I'll call them, they're around $9.99, $10.99. This is usually a couple dollars higher in a store.
Yeah.
That and the Luscious, but for the Cabernet peer group that it competes in, I think the quality of that wine is fantastic.
Yeah, I would put that one up against yeah. Against a handful yeah. of other wines.
This one might be my new favorite.
If anybody likes Cabernet, it's the Ménage Decadence Cabernet. And
Decadence.
Thank you for the...
Yeah, it's got that the burgundy label on it yeah. with the real nice... I mean, it's got a decadent label.
And most stores will have that in their Cabernet section.
You don't yeah. see it as often.
Yeah.
You don't see it as often. Maybe yeah, that. Maybe that's why I don't...
Yeah, one of the
I
things, like in a typical grocery store, what you're going to see is... Ménage Red Blend, that white label jumps out.
Yeah.
Let me just grab it real quick. And what you're going to see in a typical store is you're going to have, like, you know, if you're in a Safeway or a Foodland or whatever, you're going to see these two wines along with a third sister wine called Ménage Midnight, which is another blended red. They're all line priced. They're on a block in the store, on the shelf.
Yeah.
So it stands out. It jumps at you. These other wines, like the Luscious Pinot Noir, the Pinot Grigio, and the Cabernet, are going to be standalone, like in their varietal sections, you know, within the Cabernet or the Pinot Noir section.
Yeah.
And that's why it doesn't have the presence that you would see with these blends. They'd really jump out. They're very yeah. distinctive.
Have you considered yeah. an LED-lighted green label? You know, blinking lights.
There you go.
Disco.
Yeah.
You know, that always sells a bottle for me.
I think I'll...
Who would do such a thing?
I don't know.
I think I'll consider a Maleco testimonial. That'll
you know, just
we'll
throw
do
it out
a,
there.
Have to put
throw
a
some disco lights, maybe sparklers flying off the top.
Maleco recommends.
What was the third one you were saying?
It's called Ménage Midnight.
Is that the one that's in the...
it's a black label.
Oh,
yeah,
the
it's
midnight.
A black label.
That's
you'd recognize
the one
that
can't
one,
find.
Too. Again, I couldn't bring them all, so
yeah.
that and the Lavish would have been my next two on the Merlot. But, yeah, so anyway, that answers your question, I
yeah.
think, about why it jumps out the way it does.
Beautiful.
Okay? So that's kind of a foundation of table wines and the Ménage story. The last two things we're going to do, we're going to radically alter your palate, and you'll see why I saved these for last, because if I did these two first, then this wouldn't have gone well.
Okay.
Okay? Because basic palate is going to go in. I took you through an order that hopefully made sense to you.
We had three. We went through six.
Six wines. So
we got how many left?
Two left.
Tua.
Tua. Wow.
As it, don't take that. That's good. We're going to leave that right there.
Sweet Jesus.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. You can take it.
He's not kidding, Mark.
There you go. Awesome. Okay. So, Ménage à Trois, you know, power brand. It's done great over the years. I want to thank all the Hawaii consumers for making it such a great brand in Hawaii. You know, I know it's my company's biggest wine brand by far, and you know, in the U.S. it does extremely well. But
you got to be like the Heineken of wine in Hawaii, right?
Like, I love the wine. You know, the wine business is great because, you know, I've met people over the years in my travels. I have the good fortune to travel to a lot of parts of the world, and the wine business, especially like with family-run companies, which Trinchero is a big corporation, but they're a family-run company. It's different than just dealing with corporations, right? Where, you know, it's a different thing because, and I've met so many iconic personalities, you know, throughout, you know, my experiences in the wine business. It's been awesome, you know, and you learn something new every day, basically. So, which is really cool. So they decided they wanted to, they have a sister brand called Sutter Home, which is a world famous brand, one of the top selling wine brands in the world. And they put White Zinfandel on the map with sweet wines back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And they decided they wanted to enter the sweet wine business, and they've had good success with the White Zinfandel and the Moscatos and some of the sweeter type wines. Stella Rosa as a brand has done fantastic. It's a really strong brand here in Hawaii.
Yep.
And, you know, we've come with this introduction because in Hawaii, there's a really big demand for sweet wines. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a great way to start with the wine experience.
Sure.
So we've introduced our what we call Ménage Sweet Collection, which is the Dolce Red and the Moscato White.
Nice.
And I'm actually going to start you with the red, and then we'll finish with the white.
These brands, the names are really fantastic. Mm-hmm. Intrigue.
Yeah.
I think with, you know, just the figuring out Ménage à Trois as a brand and what it means and have a real meaning to it, but have fun with it on the spin and not to be too serious about it was a brilliant, you know, marketing move. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to have, you got to back it up with your quality and your price value relationship. And I think they do that. So I'm going to pass this around.
All righty.
We can tell the story. So
this is the Ménage Dolce.
Dolce.
Right off the bat, as he's holding it, I can tell the consistency of the wine has changed.
We're going to talk about that and why that is and why it appeals to young consumers.
Look at that. Angelo, by the way, serving up chocolates and cheeses now.
There you go.
That's appropriate as we head into the sweet section of the wines.
You,
how you doing over there, audience of two? You guys wasted yet?
Tua!
Tua! Everyone's got a drink, Maleko. Come on.
Right.
This is totally different.
So you
this,
have the
this tastes like a seltzer.
The seltzer craze that's going on right now, and this is a real wine spinoff on it.
Oh, this is I'm just this to, tastes like a like so a true
lighter. The colder the better.
This
right?
is so fun. Yeah.
So this is actually
you just blew my mind.
Oh, is it? So yeah, yeah. So you understand? See how it like kind of cleanses your palate?
It's
almost
bubbly.
Like dessert. After the main course.
Oh, my God. This is fantastic.
Wine. Yeah, it beats wine.
What is your porch pounder? Porch pounder.
Mm-hmm. You'll learn your new tune. Porch pounder is a good one for wine.
And even the carbonation is a little different.
And it's a subtle carbonation on the back end. They do that by design. So this wine is
fun.
This wine is actually a blend of Moscato, which is a green grape, like a white, typical white wine grape, which is in this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they add in Zinfandel and some Syrah. So the Zinfandel.
Oh, man, this is yummy.
Obviously, the red grapes give it the red color.
Come on. This is wine.
That's
I'm going to stop
it's
you
real
there.
Wine. No,
this
is,
is.
Yeah.
This it, is truly
and it's got,
in a jar.
You taste the blackberries and the blueberries and all that.
It
that's
is.
All by design.
Look,
yeah.
If you've been drinking seltzers over the past two summers, and who hasn't, right? I mean, look at this guy.
Yeah,
this guy isn't
truly.
This guy isn't an East Coast seltzer drinker. I've never seen one. This truly is. This is grape soda. This is it.
Alcoholic grape soda. There you go. And by the way, we mean that as a compliment. Yeah. That is fantastic.
Oh, no. This is
super fun.
Absolutely a compliment. Pick this one up.
That one is, you and I will...
This is the Minaj Dolce Red. You can find it in just about any store in Hawaii now.
Oh, my gosh.
That is very really dangerous. Very dangerous.
Yeah. So that, again, it's varietal-wise, you guys, to be a varietal, what's the minimum percentage grape it's got to be?
75.
75, good. You're learning. Up to 100. So this
has your memory. If it's American.
There you go. It's got Zinfandel, and it's got some Syrah in here. It makes it red looking, and you know, the colder the better, right? You go out on the beach, or you go out in the park, or wherever.
I put that on ice.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
So Minaj Dolce Red, and this is its cousin, the white. So this is called Sweet Moscato.
But he's right. See, if we would have started with this, it would have been weird.
No. Oh, hold on.
Oh, Angela.
Just.
Is it in cans?
Or can you put it in cans, or does it have to be in a bottle? Good question, Angela.
Actually, it's funny you brought that up. Stella Rosa does make cans.
They do have a can on it, yes.
Yeah.
To answer the question, yes, they could, but they've chosen not to, at least at this point in time. They want to sell it in bottles.
Yeah. They want you to pretend you're drinking wine.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Clearly seltzer.
Yeah. No, I like that. I feel like more of a man if I'm drinking it out of the wine.
Well, anything you can do can help.
What's interesting on the white is that... this is actually Moscato, so it's got...
He just ignores all of our jokes and focuses on the wine.
He has no idea how this show works.
That's great.
Is this thing on?
Mark, you've gotten us drunk.
Yeah, you there you go.
Mark,
you
it's succeeded. Okay to laugh at our jokes.
You have succeeded.
It's good for a Wednesday afternoon.
Mills with the, but you're not funny though, crack.
Thanks, Mills. Thank you.
So smell on the nose. You smell.
This is
smell the melons and all that. You know the melon, the honey. Yeah. You know,
Mark,
pineapple.
I love how you're keeping us on track, Mark.
This one's down
the Moscato.
Back a little bit.
Yeah. This is more because this is 100% Moscato in here. All right, and it's got doesn't have you know. The
but
blend
it's the
that
same sort of viscosity and carbonation level of the Dolce.
Exactly.
Oh, this is these are fun.
Oh, they are.
These are fun.
They're easy to drink, and again, like if somebody just wants. You know, we used the term porch pounder earlier. That's, you know, these things are easy.
Yeah, really.
These
really are bookended the experience here. Yeah,
these are exactly. These are first date cocktails.
There you go.
For sure.
Yeah. And if I were born today and I were 21 today, I'd probably have this. As
Mark, I don't know if you know how biology and life works, but if you were born today, you would not be 21 today.
Yeah, but if you were 21 today or thereabouts.
You would be born 21
years
ago
today. That's true.
Yeah. You're so smart, Flash. I don't know how I keep up with you.
Yeah,
it's a mystery. I think we should just keep making jokes and see what Mark's reaction is going
to
be.
He's ready for this pain to be over.
Would have been what did they call that? YK2.
YK2K.
Y2K.
Y2K.
Damn. Yeah. Scary that I remember Y2K.
Oh, I
remember
do.
That too.
Yeah. All right.
Well.
Wow, we just got old.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's the newest of what's happening.
Those are
Minaj
fun.
Front,
that is fantastic. And unexpected, I would say, you know, particularly because, like I said, you can tell by the consistency of the bottle. You know, wines will crawl off the sides of the glass, you know.
Yeah.
And this one in particular, it feels like a refreshing beverage, something that you can pour at the beach. Yep. It's perfect for summertime.
Right.
In both red and white. In fact, I would grab one of each or two of each and take those with you to your
two
next barbecue, for sure.
Interesting. Also, summertime year-round here in Hawaii, so it's always time for
those. Yeah, you know.
But, you know, to Angela's point, if you put those in cans, people aren't as surprised because they sort of expect more of that. But because it's out of a bottle, we were all had the same reaction of like, oh, my God, this is completely unexpected.
Yeah, that could happen down the road. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys are aware, but like there's been a major can shortage this past year. Yeah. Like even with beer brands, like
shortage of everything.
I mean, it's been brutal. You know, just on supply of aluminum. You know, and even for the big beer,
I didn't know that.
Beer producers, it was like they couldn't get the cans and supply and all that. So it was a big deal. But anyway, What? Now, this has been fun with you guys.
Well, we're not done, Mark. Yeah. No,
this is great. We're going to go back, and we're going to do them all one more time.
Yeah. There you go.
Mark, we're only reaching the halfway point of the show.
We'll come back for seconds.
Hold on. Chris Mills has a question.
Yes, sir.
Studio question.
How much do these sweet brands make up the wine purchasing market?
How much do the sweet brands make up the wine purchasing
market?
That's
actually a great question.
Great question, Chris Mills.
I think they're about 6% of the total right now, but... They're one of the fastest growing categories.
So let's talk about that trend. Mm-hmm. Rosé, big trend the last few years. Sweeter wines, big trend the last few years. Bubbles seem to be more popular than ever. What's the sort of the next thing in wine that you see in the next, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5 years from now? Where are we going next? Where's Ménage going next?
Mm-hmm. I wish I were that good.
Is it a foursome?
I wish I were that good on Wall Street. You see what's happened the last week.
Yeah.
But are we still kind of guessing? You know, but I think that the blended category is huge. It's here to stay. I think the key wine drivers as far as varietals have been pretty well established.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, rosé went from being an embarrassing thing to drink. That's what your parents drank. Right. So now we were featuring rosé on the show a couple of years ago.
Right. And the distributor told us at the time, this is where it's going. This is why this is what Hawaii needs because it's perfect for Hawaii's environment. Yeah. And now, you know, 2 years later, in retrospect, it's like rosé was nice for the time. Right. Seltzers took over.
Right.
And now you've got seltzer wine, which is a total game
changer. But the rosé to seltzer, there's a correlation there between the rosés and the seltzer.
Yeah,
the lighter,
you know, like
fruitier,
sweeter. A lot of stuff becomes retro. Over the retro becomes cool again.
Yeah.
You look at a brand like Pabst Blue Ribbon, right? Pabst back in the day was a huge brand. Then it became, you know, tough times for a number of years, and it became cool again. You know, that's what happened with rosé, because then you had a whole new
audience of two is now just straight just up grabbing stealing wine.
Our audience stealing wine. Our audience.
Did you get that on camera?
He's pooching your Cabernet there, Malika.
Listen here, buddy.
He's no dummy.
Hold on, I'm gonna echo great. Chris Mills.
Yeah. Wow. That's so funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, thank you for joining us today.
Just to answer that question, though, it's a great question, is I think that the seltzers are going to lead to whatever's next.
I never got any of that.
You know, and, you know, as far as consumer, you know, what they like and what they want to go for.
Do you think the seltzers are informing what happens next in wines?
The people that are drinking White Claw and Truly and, you know,
Flash.
They're going to trade up to other stuff.
Yeah,
that's what the natural palate will do.
Don't put this in cans because there is a class factor to pouring it out of a bottle.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, rolling up with a six pack of your White Claw.
Yeah.
That's bro code, you know. Yeah. That is frat boy status versus if you roll up with a bottle of the Dolce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game changer.
I'll give you an example. I'll give you a little history. Yeah. I'll give you a little history here. The mid 80s, I worked for the Seagram Wine Company before we moved to Hawaii, and I ran a big part of the Western U.S. for them. And we had Seagram's
hashtag
coolers.
Hashtag humble brag.
Yeah, no, we had Seagram's coolers at the time, which became a huge wine brand, along with Bartles and James.
Oh, I was just going to say,
Gallo,
and
California Cooler. Right. But Seagram's coolers are a huge brand.
The wine coolers,
And what happened was that whole generation that was consuming wine coolers big time, that's the generation that's consuming all these seltzers right now to a large extent, and it's the new consumers. And what happened with that?
Wait, what do you mean? It's the same generation?
It's a similar type
age,
profile. Yeah,
yeah,
it's a young profile.
Same kind of person.
To maybe mid-30s.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like,
or the people that are drinking it, but it's 21 to mid-30s.
Sure.
And they're going to determine
entree into the alcohol world because
it's
so easy and palatable.
It's lower alcohol. It's easy. It's easy to consume.
So are you telling me that wine coolers and seltzers are the same product?
No, they're not the same product. But
they're similar.
But they're marketed to the same market.
I'm using the analogy of
no, who, yeah, I get it.
Of who's buying them and why they're buying them.
Yeah.
And I think what happened in the 80s, they used to, like, the jug wine business was huge in the 70s and
80s. Oh, yeah, I remember
The big 1.5, 3-liter bottles. Big bottles.
Yeah. Mom would roll up with a giant bottle with the jugs, man. Yeah. They'd be in the house.
Exactly.
Your mom.
What happened though? Yeah. Those were called generic wines. Those were
talk about my mom.
Yeah, most of those were like. That's funny.
Yeah. We finally got him. We finally got him.
God, that was good.
It took 52 minutes.
Jeez, Tua. It took 52 minutes and 8 bottles of wine.
And a mom joke.
Mark finally cracked.
I didn't even make the joke.
You didn't.
That was funny.
You're lucky you didn't.
That was good.
Also, I like how he didn't laugh. He just goes, that was funny.
Yeah. That was good.
Acknowledge.
Yeah, but what happened, though, is those consumers that were drinking the jug wines and all that, they started moving to varietal wines and better wines, and that was an offshoot of what happened off that cooler, you know.
The wine coolers.
The Bonanza, when all that happened. And that was a huge business.
Huge.
It reminds me of where the seltzer. And this seltzer thing's even bigger than that, though, because you have the big boy brands involved, you know, with Corona and, you know, Budweiser.
They're all last man of the party, White Claws, outselling all of them.
Obviously the White Claws and Trulys of the world. Yeah. I mean, you got some powerful brands there, but, you know, for the...
It's a big market to compete with.
So it'll be interesting, and I'm not... I wish I had a better fortune teller.
Angela Sakamoto.
I think you're in a good place, though.
Audience of one, Angela, what's your question?
I took a quiz.
She took a quiz. You took a Facebook quiz. So hold on. So Angela took a quiz.
Yes.
What did she say?
Pinot Grigio.
Wait, Angela, you took a quiz online and your Menage a
Trois
flavor is Limelight?
This is the first wine we took, the Pinot Grigio, Limelight. Limelight Pinot Grigio. Yeah. Okay, good.
There you go.
Right. What other
questions? What was your question?
I don't know.
That wasn't a question.
She just wanted to know if her Facebook quiz was accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. And now they have your social media.
Angela, did you not pay attention the first 10 minutes of the podcast where all we talked about was Limelight? This blackout mode after 8 bottles, it's rough.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, Mark, we want to thank you for joining us here today. Mark Milton, by the way, with BM&M.
BM&M.
Incredible selection of wines from one company. If you're looking for something you want to try, you're just not sure what you want to get, you're rolling up to a party, you're not sure what's appropriate, the Menage a Trois brand has not just the ones that we presented here, but, I mean, there's got to be at least 4 or 5 others that you didn't bring today. All fantastic tasting wines. Mm-hmm. And I think you can't go wrong if you roll up with one of the two in the middle that we selected here today. We were talking with the Silk Red Blend.
Are those your two favorites?
The original White Label. Those two, I think, are the most palatable across the board.
Mm-hmm. But are those your of the 8? Yeah. Those are your two favorites.
Yeah, I think on a daily basis, those are my two favorites. You know, on a case by case basis, if I'm hanging out by the pool, I'd be down with the Dolce or the Moscato. And I think if I had to roll up and somebody was like, "Please bring white wine," I mean, I would start with the Pinot Grigio.
Okay, so Lauren,
where do you find wonderful wine?
Well, we talked about it earlier. Yeah. You get them anywhere from 7-Eleven.
You're like Angela. You're not paying attention.
Yeah, you know what I think? The easier question would be, where aren't you?
Literally
nowhere.
Well, it depends
on
the retail. The club stores have limited distribution. So, like, the red you're going to find everywhere.
Yeah.
Silk will be in some of those stores. And then the other ones we have.
Where can we find the Dolce and the Moscato?
They're pretty much widespread distribution in Hawaii right now.
Nice.
But so they're not what you're, to your point earlier, where some of these brands are more recognizable in a store than others, even though they're all there, is because the Menage, the original red, is with two other bottles on either side.
You got to go into the special section.
Versus Menage is just like off by itself. Yeah.
These two wines will be wherever Stella Rosa is. That's where we'll be with these.
Okay.
These two.
Okay. Now, Lauren, which of the 8 was your favorite? If you had to pick one.
Silk.
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 Silk. Okay. So, Chris Mills, what was your?
Decadence. The Cabernet.
The Decadence. Chris Mills. Audience of one, Angela.
The Moscato.
All right.
The sweet white.
We're all over the board.
Okay.
In the room.
That's good.
That's good to
know. You know, that's typical. I mean, you know, I tell people on wine, all that really matters is what you like and what you're willing to spend. You know,
I think all that really matters is how drunk you get. That's what really matters.
Well, you got to like it, though.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between.
That's only for the first 3 glasses.
You like.
By the 4th glass, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not.
You are a lightweight, aren't you?
You're good to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Mark again.
Mark had something to say.
Let's do it again with spirits sometime down the road.
Tequila.
I'd love to do that with you.
Would tequilas be the one for you?
There you go.
Is that your go-to?
Yeah, or whiskey. You know, either one's good.
Oh, gosh. Okay, we got to have you back at least 2 more times.
Mark, it's been great hanging out with you. Hello, our audience of one. Mills the Mooch.
Mills.
Thank you all so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Wow. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. And, of course, you can visit our website, MolecoandFlash.com. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you thought of the show. Ask your questions. We'll answer them as soon as we can. And we'll be back next week with a whole new show on Wednesday afternoon with...
We have national touring comedian Graham Elwood is going to be with us over at Shorefire Waikiki in the International Marketplace. Then the week after that, July 7th, we are interviewing Pow Wow Worldwide co-founder Jasper Wong at his gallery installation inside of Bishop Museum live while the museum is open.
It's going to be
the most, could go wrong?
It's going to be the most interesting show we've ever done, and I guarantee you, you're going to have a lot of fun. Hit that subscribe button right now so you don't miss a beat. Thanks for watching Moleko and Flash. We'll see you next time.